You have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. And we'll start in verse 12, if you're following along. Just curious, did anybody go home and make homemade bread last week after that great sermon on bread? We didn't. Sure thought about it, but listen, it's when you make a homemade bread, it is better than store-bought, but it's a lot more work, too. And but today we're going to talk about light. I want to talk to you about the best flashlight that money can't buy. There are all kinds of different flashlights and different degrees of flashlight. You buy one at the dollar store for $1.50 now, and it will probably shed a little bit of light, at least for a few minutes. Probably not going to last very long. You can get one of these great big mammoth flashlights that, they're big and heavy, and you've got to have the size D batteries to go down in them, and so they weigh a ton, and they'll give out light, and probably a little bit brighter light, and bright that will go further. And so that's a good flashlight. And we think that, hey, listen, the more you spend on something, the better it should work. But I want to tell you, the greatest flashlight that any of us could ever hope to have doesn't cost us anything. It's a free flashlight. And it's the best flashlight that you could ever have. And that flashlight is Jesus. So we're talking over the next several weeks, in the last few weeks, about the I Am statements of Jesus. And tonight, or this morning, tonight, I don't even know what time it is, I tell you. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And it's not just Jesus that's the light of the world, though. I want to say, I hope by the end you'll see that Jesus not only is the light, but Jesus wants us to become flashlights reflecting His light. And we'll see that as we go through, I hope. So read with me John 8, verses 12 through 20. This is what He says. He said, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself, and your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I came from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with my Father who sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. And they said to him, Where is your Father? And Jesus answered them, You know neither me nor my Father, for if you knew me, you would have known my Father also. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as He taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on Him, for His hour had not yet come. And that's where this particular story starts. So there's a reason we'll see in just a minute, hopefully. There's a lot intervening in between this and where we're going to pick back up. John does that, I think, on purpose. So what had just happened before the verses that we read was these Pharisees had brought this woman who was caught in adultery, and these men brought her to Jesus to trap Him. The law said that an adulterer, that was a capital offense. In other words, something that you were put to death for in the nation of Israel. And by the way, it wasn't just the woman that would have been caught in adultery, because it takes two to tango, but that's another sermon for another day. And Jesus said to this, I forgive you. You know, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. And so they're trying to trap him. They don't succeed. And so Jesus tells the woman, go and sin no more. And then John relates to us Jesus saying this, I am the light of the world. And that's important. Not just I am the light of heaven. I'm not just the light of Israel, but the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then there's some debate that goes on with the Pharisees. And I want you to turn now to chapter 9, and we're going to read the first 7 verses. It says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he may be born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. And we're going to stop reading there, but if you keep going, the Pharisees again mumble and complain and argue among themselves, which is not unusual. That's kind of what they do. And so we find these two, a man and a woman, whose life had been radically and marvelously transformed by Jesus. One had this, she was spiritually blind and an outcast, one that people didn't want to be around, one that people looked their nose down on. And then we meet a man who people also kind of pitied and looked down, but for another reason, because he was born physically blind. Jesus met this man and this woman and healed both of them and gave them a new lease on life, gave them hope and a new mission for them. And so there's several things as we think about these two instances in the Gospel of John that help us to see how is it that Jesus is the light of the world. And then I hope we'll also ask our question, is he my light? He wants to be your light. And if you want to find your way in the world, he's got to be your light. You can't possibly see clearly without Jesus Christ being the light of your life. And so a few things that I want us to point out this morning. The first is this, that Jesus helps us see our need. Jesus meets us where we're at. You know, I've heard people, and people have said to me, preacher, I know that I need to get my life straight. I know I need to get saved, but I got to straighten my life up first. Then I'll come to church. And why, then it'll just be great. Well, I wish it would work. It don't work that way. You see, if we could clean ourselves up on our own, Jesus would not have needed to come. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus accepts us and takes us just as we are. But he does not leave us like he found us. He always changes us. And this woman that was caught in adultery, her life was changed, and she went on and became a witness for the Lord. Her life was changed. She now had hope, and this blind man that was blind physically could now see. oftentimes we think we know what our need is, but what we think our need is really is not our need. Those folks that tell me, "Preacher, I know I need you, but I've got to clean myself up first." What they're saying is, "I know I'm not living right, but I'm not willing to do anything about it just right now." Their need is not to clean their life up and start acting right, because they can't. Because sinners can only act like sinners. That's all they can do. And that's all any of us could do before we find Jesus. This woman thought, "Well, maybe if I just find the right man." And she went from man to man to man to man, and she wasn't finding the right one. And with every relationship that she had, she just fell kind of deeper into the outcasts of society. Until she met Jesus. And when she met Jesus, this man was different than any other man she had ever met before. Why, every other religious leader that she'd ever interacted with likely had condemned her, just like these Pharisees had done. And looked their nose down on her, called her names, probably told her she would never amount to anything, that she was worthless. And yet Jesus doesn't do that. In fact, Jesus begins to write, you know, he begins to write in the sand. We don't know what he writes. John doesn't tell us, but commentators speculate. Not, you know, we can speculate all we want to. We may be right, we may be wrong. Maybe he was writing the sins of those Pharisees that had brought this woman. Because Jesus said, "All right, that is the law, but the one of you that's without sin, cast the first stone." The Pharisees were a group that were very self-righteous, and they thought they were mighty perfect. And on the outside, they did look like they were perfect. They kept, you know, they went to temple every time they were supposed to, and they did all the service acts and did brought all the offerings and observed all the festivals and feasts. People thought, "Man, if there's anybody religious, it's these guys." But these religious guys, they were practicing religion, but they were as lost as a goose. They were not righteous. They were sinful as this woman was. But at least this woman recognized that she wasn't perfect. And so Jesus says to her, "Where did your accusers go?" He said, "None of them are left." And Jesus says to her, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." So what Jesus said to this woman was, "You know what, I don't condemn you either." He didn't just sweep aside what she had done or what she... He said, "Well, I don't condemn you either, but you go and don't do it anymore." Well, we know that the only way we cannot do the sin that so easily entangles us, as Paul says in Romans, is to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And when Jesus comes into our life, he shows us our most important need is our need for him. And I tell you that no matter what else is wrong in your life, until you get that fixed, nothing else is going to be fixed. But here's the amazing thing. Once you get that fixed, once Jesus becomes the light of your life, everything else starts falling into place and working out a little bit. Why? Because you can see the right direction. Without Jesus and with the light of God in your life, you're walking through this dark, evil world in darkness. and all of it, if you've walked through your house late at night in the dark, get up, go to the bathroom, or maybe go out to the kitchen to get a drink of water, inevitably, on at least one journey, you've stepped on a Lego that the kid has left out, or you've stubbed your toe on a door or on a dresser or something. It hurts. Well, why did you do that? Because it was dark and you couldn't see. If it was light, you see those things and you move around them. Jesus helps us see our need. So our need ultimately is Him, is salvation. But here's the thing. It's not that we just need salvation. It's that we need to live in the light. It's that we need to stay near Jesus. And we need to be near Him. We need His direction. We need to grow in Him. We need to learn more and more about Him. And the more that we hang around Jesus and the more we learn of Him and follow His directions, the brighter His light is in us. The second thing I want to see is that Jesus answers our questions. You know, sometimes I think that, you know, we are bothered by the fact that, you know, we're afraid almost to ask God why. God is not upset by our questions. He's not upset when we say, God, I don't understand this. That doesn't undo Him. He doesn't lose sleep at night saying, oh no, George doesn't understand me. What am I going to do about that? He doesn't do that. And He's not upset when Aaron or Les or any of us tell God, I don't understand. It's all right to ask God why. It's all right to, you know, question God and to say, God, what does this mean? And here's the thing. Bible says if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God and God will give it to him. The thing is that God uses His Holy Spirit, His Word, His church, other believers to help answer and guide us when we're seeking God's direction. So if we sincerely are asking God questions, He will answer us. Sometimes, though, we don't want to hear the answer like these Pharisees in the passage that we read. They don't want to hear what Jesus was saying. They asked Him, well, just exactly who is your father? Say, remember, they knew who He was. They knew that He was Joseph and Mary's son from Nazareth. They knew that. And Jesus said, and He say, listen, you say that I'm lying, but the reality is I'm telling the truth. And doesn't the law say on the witness of two, it's the truth is established? He said, well, I'm telling you, and my Father's telling you. And so that's two. Well, they didn't like that. Jesus could have just wiped them dead. Or He could have said, you know, I'm not going to answer that. But Jesus answered their question. Even though I don't think they were sincere, because the whole interaction, they came to Jesus to trap Him so that they could arrest Him. But Jesus still answered them. And later on in chapter 9, and the verses that we didn't read, again, Pharisees argue amongst themselves and say, listen, how do we even know this guy really was blind? Maybe it's just somebody that looks like the blind guy that we knew, and this guy himself really was never blind. They could not deny the reality of a changed life. And so they had to do something. And if you read on, he said, they even went to the parents and said, is this your son, and was he really born blind from birth? And even when that was confirmed, the Bible said they still didn't believe it. So when we ask questions, Jesus will answer us. And here's the thing, if we want His light in our life, then we have to listen to His answers. And we have to trust that His answer is right and it's best. Even if God's answer is no. None of us like to be told no. We like it best when the answer is yes. But Jesus sometimes says no, just like any loving parent tells their children no sometimes. So Jesus is willing to answer our questions. And He's not caught off guard. And I thought it was important for us to point that out this morning. And then lastly, not only does Jesus help us see our need, and not only does Jesus answer our questions, but Jesus sends us on our way. And not just sends us on our way, but sends us in the way. And sends us on a mission, sends us out on purpose. And so this woman who Jesus had forgiven goes on and she tells everybody what's happened. And she no longer is afraid to be a part of society. The blind man goes to a pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. I think intentionally a reminder. Now, could Jesus have just healed him right there? He could have. And the reality is, he had that healing available to him. But it wasn't until he obeyed God that he realized he could see. But when he had obeyed God, he went into this pool, washed this mud off of his eyes. He could see, just like you and I see, something he had never, ever, ever been able to do before. John tells us that he was blind from birth. And so Jesus tells him, listen, it wasn't this man, and it wasn't his parents that sinned. But he was born blind so that he could see and you all could see the power and the work of God. And so he picked up some mud, Middle Eastern mud, spit in it, stirred it up, and made a sand mud pancake, smushed it all over his eyes. And said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And John tells us the man did it. And he could immediately see. He gained his sight. Jesus had given sight to a lot of folks. What John reminds us of in Jesus' proclamation that he is the light is that Jesus can show, the light can touch anyone, no matter how long they've been in darkness or how deep they are in darkness, the light of Jesus can penetrate it. But then he reminds us that, listen, Jesus says this, he says, as long as I am in the world, my light will be around. Well, we're in trouble if we take that very literally, but Jesus didn't mean it literally. Because he tells his followers, you are the light. He said, just as I am the light, I'm giving that light to you because I live in you. And so he's saying, as long as my witnesses, as long as my people are in the world, they'll be light. And through human history, just like there have been a lot of dark periods of human history. And should the Lord tarry his coming, there'll be more. But through all of those times, God has always had a people. God has always had light bearers. And even in my relatively young life, I've heard lots and lots of folks say when different things have happened, oh, the world is surely going to end. This is going to do us all in. But guess what? Those things have come and gone. And here we still are. I remember when Y2K 25 years ago now. You know, the world was going to end, and boy, all the computers were going to blow up, and it was just going to be mass chaos. Well, the calendar switched. We're all still here 25 years later. Even more dependent on computers and technology. So Jesus says, listen, as long as I'm around, there'll be light. He says in Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 in the Sermon on the Mount, these are the words of Jesus. Here in John, he says, I am the light. In Matthew chapter 5, listen to what he says. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine, so that they may see your good works and give you glory. Is that what it says? That's not what it says. We better read it again. And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So we are light bearers because we have the light of Jesus in our life. And there's something Jesus says about light. If you're light, if you've got light in you, you can't hide it. Light's not supposed to be hidden. And here's the thing, light can't be kept to itself. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, no matter how much you spend on a flashlight, it's not going to light up but more than a few feet. But Jesus said he lights up the whole world. That's a pretty powerful flashlight. And Jesus says, if you are mine, you have that light. And so Jesus says, you take that light and you go shine so that people can see your brightness, so people can see how you've been changed and they can glorify your Father in heaven. And hopefully, as you experience that light and that change, they'll come to experience it too. But if they never know that you've been changed and they never see your light, they certainly aren't going to be changed by the light. They're certainly not going to find it in this dark world by themselves. They're only going to find it by you who have the light of Christ going and coming near them and sharing it with them. So it's not up to us to judge or to have all the answers, but our answer is to simply shine the light of Jesus and trust Him to do the rest. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, thank you that you love us and that you give us grace and that you take us just as we are. But Lord, we also are so thankful you don't leave us like you find us. Lord, you change us miraculously and wonderfully and completely. Lord, thank you that you do give us light, that you do show us the way. Lord, help us to be obedient and follow the light. Lord, it is true what your word says, that men love darkness. And we sometimes are more comfortable in darkness because then we can't see our brokenness and our failures. But Lord, when those failures and when that sin is in the light of Jesus, it's covered by the blood. Lord, just as you changed this man and this woman that we've talked about today, you can change anyone. No matter how much darkness is in their life. so the light of Jesus can come into their life and change them. And Lord, as you've changed us to those that do have that light, you call us to take that light and carry it to be a light to this world. Lord, help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to shine brightly for you, that people just by seeing us can see that we belong to you and that we've been changed and are a testimony of your grace. Help us, we pray, to be your hands and feet. As in Christ's name we pray. Friend, let's stand together. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. God spoke into your heart. There's a decision you need to make today. This would be a great day and a great time to make it. Maybe you need to come and you need to get that light to start with. Maybe you've got that light, you're saved, but you say, you know what, I've been kind of keeping that light in under a bushel. It's been under a lid. And maybe you need to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine brightly for you as you give me opportunity as I'm going. But let's sing this hymn.